What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The girls and I appreciate every single one of our listeners, and we know that there are a lot of us who are brought together by the Sarah J. Maas universe. We also know everyone loves some bookish merchandise, so we want to take a moment each week and showcase a small licensed Sarah J. Maas business. This week, we are celebrating the small business Valor and Lore. This is a one-woman show making some amazing clothing, including hats, shirts, sweatshirts, and leather jackets from the Crescent City series that I cannot stop looking at online. Check out their store today with a link to their website in our show notes and on our Instagram. Don't forget to use the discount code GoodishGirls10, that's GoodishGirls10, at checkout.
All right, there we go.
All right, here we go. A fate forged in fire. Welcome to Goodish Girls, guys. I'm Dallas.
I'm Alyssa.
We miss you guys. We're back. We took a week off. We finished up Quicksilver. It was fabulous. We took a little break. And now we're hanging out with our first mini deep dive, A Fate Forged in Fire by Hazel McBride. Hopefully you all have read it by now. We let you know it was coming. I know. It's so exciting. It's amazing. It's a great book. It was a great story. This is going to be a two-part series. We're going to have two episodes. And we hopefully an interview with Hazel as well, right in the middle. So that's going to be amazing. So we're going to talk all things about the book. There will be spoilers between the whole thing. So if you haven't read the book and or listened to the book yet, please pause here. Go do one of those two things. You can grab the book in our Amazon storefront as well. So nice and easy. Link below. Just go to it, grab it. It's also on Audible as well. The audio narrator did a fabulous job. So that can also help you with some of the pronunciations of these words as well.
I'm so excited about this. It's different, right? Like, it's different from Quicksilver or ACOTAR or Fourth Wing or a lot of the things that I feel like I've consumed more recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's more fantasy, less romance, I would say.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And it was nice. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was very different. I think it brings to light a lot of real world issues and helps you understand them and kind of reflect on them in an easy, digestible manner, which I think Hazel did an amazing job with that for sure. We will dive into that a little bit about like what we're talking about with those kind of real world issues that we're talking about. I think that the romance it's a slow burn. It's a slow burn. Took a while, but it was good when we got there.
One thing to note here is not only are you setting up for this initial duology, but you're being introduced to a universe that is, we hope, covering, you know, several duologies. So there's a lot that you need to have established before you can as a reader even get to the romance part of things. Like, you're learning so much to set up for not only these two books, but everything that that's going to follow.
Yeah, agreed. This is book one in a duology, as Alyssa mentioned, that follows our FMC Amira. There is a plan so far from what we've heard from Hazel that it's a plan for five duologies, but there's no announcements on like who the other duologies will follow or the name of any of those books. We do know that each duology will cover a different part of the territory. So once they are complete, you'll be taken across the entire map. So that's pretty cool. I like how she planned that out.
Yeah.
thought it was amazing.
I'm excited. Like, I'm really interested to see, because we've only been introduced to Amira as like our FMC. So I'm so interested to see how I feel about the other, what I would assume FMCs or whoever they are in these other, like duology series. Like,
yeah.
Who am I going to relate to the most? Who am I going to be cheering for the most? Who, you know,
exactly.
And super interested in what it's going to, how I know it all unfold.
I'm ready to know. Maybe when we talk to Hazel, we'll get a little sneak peek of something. I don't know. I'm going to try.
Maybe.
I'm going to try for you guys.
It wouldn't be you if you weren't trying.
That's true.
That's why we love you. That's why you're our host.
I'm a pusher. Push a little bit. Not too much. Just a smidge.
She's a pusher.
I do want to say first the dedication to this. The dedication in the book. So if you did the audiobook, the dedication is not read. But if you have the physical book, if you open it to the dedication, it's for the little girls who were told to put their fires out, burn them all to the fucking ground.
So good.
Amen.
It gives me goosebumps every time.
Yes.
Not even exaggerating. Every time it gives me goosebumps.
For those audiobook listeners, I needed you guys to hear that line.
I would tattoo that on my body. Like, that's, it's so powerful.
We'll go get matching fate, like, fortune fire tattoos.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
The goodest girls to the tattoo shop. I'm here for it.
Oh my gosh. So, it could happen one day.
Oh, 100. Yeah. No, 100%. Yes. In November. November is a good month for me. So names and places in these series are based off of true Scottish Gaelic. The author notes many words within this story are either inspired or derived from or direct translations of Scottish Gaelic. There may be variations in word choice and pronunciation due to different local dialects. There are unique sounds in Gaelic that are difficult to mimic using English phonetics. Therefore, it is recommended that readers access an online Scottish Gaelic dictionary to hear sound files of these words for accurate pronunciation and further learning. We're going to post a name breakdown, if we haven't posted it already, maybe, on our Instagram. So you have some name breakdown, especially, again, if you did listen to the audiobook. It kind of puts it into visual for you. So we'll put those in our social media. So keep a lookout for that if you haven't looked at that already. We're also linking a website in our show notes to Scottish Gaelic. It's called learngaelic.net, and that is recommended by the author herself. So that's straight from Hazel McBride's social media. But if you listen to the audiobook, I do think that it helped.
I agree. So I started this book by reading, and then was like jumping back and forth between the audiobook and reading, and I ended up finishing it in the audiobook just because I enjoyed hearing it as it's meant to be read, right? Like, Hazel is Scottish herself, so and she's so passionate about like the culture and bringing those elements into this series, and I really enjoyed listening to it. Like I said, I think it's just how like it's meant to be read in your head that way, so I really enjoyed that.
No, I 100% agree, and we are going to try our absolute hardest to pronounce everything correctly as it should be. If we mess up, Hazel, I'm so sorry. We're trying our best.
We'll do our best. We are just some American girls.
We are not Scottish girlies.
I wish I was a Scottish girlie. I know.
We're not. It just
one
is.
One day, can I please just be a Scottish girlie? Yes,
it's Alyssa's dream.
I can learn.
Yeah, we need to try.
Until then.
Yeah, we also read the name breakdowns and listened to the audible. So I think we're doing okay. I think we're doing our best.
Yeah.
If we mess up, so sorry. Please forgive us.
Yeah.
So heading into it, we have Amira Darkathian. Again, if I mess it up, I'm so sorry. She was the first female-born Dulic in a long line of male heirs only. There hasn't been a queen in a very long time. The rules were once that any female heir born to the royal line has the rightful claim to the throne, which is like super backwards from what we're all used to. Right, which is amazing. Yes. First, you're like, you dive in and you're like, oh, okay, all right. So her territory was once a matriarchal society, but is now ran by the one true religion. I will put quotes every time for those guys because they suck. And they have become a patriarchal society. So I think for the most part, everyone knows what those mean. But for those who do not know exactly what that means or maybe need a refresher, patriarchy refers to a social system where men hold primary power and predominant in roles of political leadership, moral authority, social privilege, and control of property. It often involves the dominance of men in family structures, with men holding authority over women and children. This system can be seen in both family structures and broader societal institutions, versus a matriarchy, which is a system or society of government ruled by women or a woman. Do you have anything to add?
What?
Do you have anything to add?
Yes. I'm immediately out at the words dominance of men in family structures with men holding authority. I'm immediately like,
no,
no,
not approved.
Out. Unapproved. Disapproved.
No, not approved. Get it straight to jail.
Yeah.
I did find those quotes online, so I did not write those myself. So that was the dictionary definition that I retrieved from the good old internet. So just in case you guys need that, patriarchy is men ruling, matriarchy is women ruling. So here we are. So we have here Amira and her twin brother, Adarian. He's my favorite.
I
do love him. I do. I would like a second duology to be with Adarian, please. Thank you.
Oh, maybe my he'll vote. Be in a second duology.
Yes. He's the best. He's
what
a good
we have
brother.
An FMC? In the second or third or fourth or fifth duology that he falls in love with.
Oh my gosh. Adarian deserves happiness. He is good man. He's a good brother. He's hot as hell. He's a fire wielder. He supports the matriarchy.
Yeah.
Adarian's my man.
And homeboy is just trying to keep his sister in check.
He sure is. In like the nicest, kindest way possible too.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even in a bad way. Like, he fully respects her and, sees her as queen. Yeah. And you know what, Adarian? You're doing a great job and I see you. And I appreciate you.
But then he's but maybe you shouldn't do that. Like actually, if you thought this maybe through, not do that then. Like
yeah.
That.
No, don't do that, sis. Yeah. He's, like, the one person who can be like, girl, don't.
But we love him.
Yes, oh, 100%. So Amira and her twin brother have been forced to live in hiding basically their whole lives, because if the royals find out who she is before the plan their father has crafted for her, she would be killed, right? Because she's the firstborn heir that is a female, and dad was like immediately into hiding, right? Because then they'll try to get rid of her, because then that would obviously bring the matriarchy back, and the one true religion is not having that. So she's been in hiding for a long time, as well as Adarian, because obviously it's their sister and brother, and he didn't want them to be separated. So Amira being a Duelic means she has access to fire, and she also has bright auburn hair. Those around her do not know that, though, because she always wears a headscarf and he keeps her hair tucked in tight. A Duelic is basically like a fire-born person. Right? They have fire running through their veins. They can withstand most heat and other fire, except dragon fire. We know there are dragons in this book. They cannot withstand dragon fire. So if they get burned by a dragon, that's it. They can also bring like fire to their fingertips and their arms, and they can just start a fire whenever they want, right? Like work in forges, things like that. And then they can also melt people from the inside, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
For I sure. do like that. It does happen in the book. And I was like, oh,
that's spoiler alert.
If I could be a Duelic, I would do that. I in another life, I have power somewhere and I'm probably a terrible person.
Oh, no.
I am the bad guy.
Oh, no.
But like, to be realistic, though, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. She can like melt people from the insides. Amazing.
Yeah.
Being a Duelic also means you have the opportunity to bond a dragon, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Which is,
Yeah, amazing, right?
So like, cool. Yeah.
But if you're not a Duelic, you don't get to bond a dragon, which is a bummer.
Well, there's not that many left, we think.
That's true. Yes. There's not many dragons left at all. And there's not been an egg seen in a long time. So Amira is the definition of female rage, right? She's a very different FMC than what I have seen before. She fully believes in all five goddesses and that the true religion is not real, which agree. She does occasionally jump into action or a decision a little bit too early, but I will say she calls herself out when that happens. She'll be like, oh, wow, how could I be so stupid when she fucks up, which is very big for an FMC to be like self-aware like that, because I feel like in a lot of fantasies, when the FMC does something stupid or something that's crazy, they're like, I was definitely not wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like,
yeah. Like, oh, my arm got chopped off, but I'm still right. Like, yeah. It's all, you're like, come on, stop.
Yeah. They're like, they're never aware of anything. And she's like, oh, I did it again. I'm stupid.
Yeah.
And there was one point in the book where she was like, twice. She was like, oh, I did it again.
Yeah. I also love that she's not depicted as being like this teeny tiny little person.
Yeah.
Like, she's a mid-sized queen. She's mm-hmm. bisexual. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so much more representation. Like, I know we've talked before about being like diving into the book, if it is a first person book, and reading it, and the whole time it's like, I'm so thin and I am have perfect everything, and you're trying to relate, but then sometimes I think it is difficult to relate to as a reader mm-hmm. because we're not all that person.
Right.
The representation was really cool in this book.
Mm-hmm. And they all have straight hair.
Yes.
Always.
And I'm over here like, I wake up and I can't breathe because my afro is in my face.
Like, yes. It's like,
my hair is out to here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, trying to find air when I wake up in the morning because my hair is wrapped around my entire head.
Yep. Yes. So. Same. 100%. If I lived in like a fantasy world, I would have to have it in a braid my entire life, because if I just like let it breathe, it
it'd
be sticks in it, like lost in there, leaves and stuff, grow algae or something. So like moss.
Yuck.
I'm just saying.
Wash your hair.
I don't know if there's that in the fantasy land that I get to individually go to. I don't know. If there is, I'll do it. But then there better be conditioner, because if I just put shampoo in this hair, I'm not getting any tangles out. You know what I mean? Like, if I only shampooed
my hair once, I'd be shaved my head. I'd be done for.
Yes. Have to have conditioner. Otherwise, it's game over. Yeah. So I feel like Amira would understand that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, love you, Nesta, but I don't think she would understand.
You know,
that's okay.
We can't all be perfect, Nesta.
I know. She is.
Except for her. Her hair is too perfect.
It is. It is that crown braid all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that. I love that about her. So, Adarian is again, super underrated character. Right. I love him. He's the best. And I want a whole book on him. In the beginning, he is described like hot as fuck. Right. And then the only thing that I didn't like was we lose him like halfway through the book, because he like stays back and she goes. And I was like, Adarian, hello.
Hello.
Where are you?
Yeah.
And so I know this story is about like Amira and Fiorian, but I crave even an Adarian novella. He is kind. He cares about his sister. He understands and believes that she is the rightful heir, and he has never fallen into the true religion. So, again, I just want to give another shout out to Adarian. I love him. Thank you for writing his character, Hazel. So her and Adarian were adopted by a family who keep their identities a secret all of these years, right? You have Orla, who is like the mom, basically. You have Podrick, that's basically the dad. And then you have Lachlan, the little brother, who is not there. He's like the adopted brother. He is the son of Orla and Podrick. So he's not related to the two twins at all, but they're like, this is our brother, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Podrick was a blacksmith. And so both of the twins joined as blacksmiths as well. And even though Adarian is pretty good at blacksmithing, Amira is better. She makes better weapons, which I think is pretty cool that she's like automatically better in the forge than the men.
Heck yeah.
Nothing against the men in the forge, but
I love when Fiorian first comes in and she's like, you should ask me to make your sword.
Yes.
Like, mistake. Mm-hmm. You should ask me.
Yeah. Mistake number one, that it's not right. It won't work for you. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that she had the balls to do that.
Yeah.
So again, we know that she works in the Forge. We know that she's in hiding, and she's been in hiding for a really long time. Like, she's a full-grown woman now, right? So eventually her dad, who it kind of mentions him in the book a little bit, but he shows back up, right? He sneaks up on her in a dark alleyway and tells her it is time for her to take her rightful place on the throne because the current king is officially dead and his son is about to take his place. We know there are two brothers, right? We have Fjorin and then his brother, Evander. And so one of the two is going to take the place. So there is a note in here that the king had gone mad and that he had also been very unwell for a while now. So his passing is not a surprise. So basically there was rumors that he had been mad for like a long time. And so he has been laid to rest.
It's like King George vibes.
Yes.
Like Bridgerton, the Bridgerton series.
I have watched a smidge, but I know the reference.
You've watched all of Bridgerton, Dallas?
Mm-hmm. No.
I feel like you would be so into it.
Really? When I watch TV, I watch like crime stuff. Law and Order, Criminal Minds, Law and Order SVU.
A little bit of it, and you weren't like head over heels?
No. I'll try it
again. That's okay.
I was like, I don't know.
Okay, if you're not, I just am surprised.
I feel like it's a show that Cass would make me watch. She makes me watch that stuff.
Okay.
She's I'm just surprised. Watch it now.
Oh, no. Sorry.
It's okay.
Good luck, Cass.
I have so many shows that I'm behind on, though. Like, I'm trying to finish Yellowstone, right? I'm trying to do all that stuff. Beth and Rip.
Love them. I don't know that. What's that?
The Yellowstone? The show?
Oh, I've never watched Yellowstone.
Okay. I do think you would like that show. So there's a couple on there, Beth and Rip. And Beth is like a wild powerhouse. If I could have 1% confidence that Beth Dutton has, I could take down this world. Legit. Ooh. She is like wild and crazy and amazing. And Rip is like this like cowboy, tough guy. And he just like puts up with all of Beth's shits and loves her regardless, with all of her flaws exposed.
I've heard great things. I've just never watched. So
there's like one scene where she's mad at him and she goes, "Fuck you. I'll see you at dinner, but fuck you." And he's like, "All right, babe. I'll see you later." He just like loves the crazy.
They don't say that in Bridgerton.
I know. I would not think so. All right. I'll watch Bridgerton and you watch some Yellowstone and then we'll circle back.
Yeah, but what if you hate it? Then I'll feel bad.
I don't think I'll hate it.
All right. Well, we'll see.
You told me to get into D&D, so I'm trying that.
That's exciting.
I'm gonna watch a D&D sesh. I don't know what you call them. Meetings, gatherings, sessions.
Session, yeah.
I'm gonna watch one.
Okay.
I can't wait for you
to report back.
Ooh, yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
Yay.
We'll see. Okay. So
you need to report back to all the listeners though too.
Yes. If you guys are interested in my D&D journey, let us know and I will update you. I'll tell you how it goes. We both know that I get to develop my own character, so that's like a thing. And I want a big sword, and I'm going to name it. That's my dream.
It can happen.
I don't know about any of the other stuff yet, but I was like, "Can I have a big sword?" And they were like, "Yeah, you can have two swords." And I was like, "Do I get to name them?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, I'm in." Sold. <Perfect. laughs> Did you get your physical copy of A Fate Forged in Fire yet? Maybe you listened to it on Audible, and you need the physical book to add to your trophy bookshelf. Well, we have curated a list of all of our favorite books, including A Fate Forged in Fire, and put them all in one easy place at our Amazon storefront. Check out the link in our show notes and grab your copy today. So, back to it. Her dad unfolds his big plan and introduces Amira to her queen's guard. This is a group of people with powers sworn to protect their one true queen at any cost. You have air, earth, water, and fire. These are the powers that make up the guard. These guys were only in the story for like a brief moment. And I do have a feeling they will come back in book two because they're still alive. Like, they didn't get killed in the book. They're just like introduced, they're there, and then they're gone. And then they come back like for a split second towards the end of the book. And that's all we really know about them. So I thought it was very interesting.
The other duologies are going to reflect on, because they're all the different territories, right? And this is like the fire territory.
Right.
So if the other ones do hit air, earth, water, what's the fifth duology?
Adarian. I don't know.
Air, earth, water, fire.
Adarian.
And Adarian's story.
Yay! That's my vote. I vote for that. I can't.
We'll find out.
Yes, we will eventually. So yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Draven Darkathian, which is dad. Daddy Duelik, right? I know. He's super off to me. I gave Alyssa the ick. Yay. Yeah. I feel like I always get the ick. It's time to share. So he's super off to me. He was supposed to raise these kids, but he leaves them, right? Which, fair. He did it in to save his daughter. So I get that. But he, like, he craves his family to be in power and craves her to be the heir, like, more than anything else. And I understand him wanting to help the matriarchy, but at what cost? Right?
Yeah.
And even towards the end, he makes a ton of mistakes that cost them basically everything.
Yeah. I'm so curious to see how book two plays out, because there were moments in this book where I was like, okay, like I feel like as a reader, I'm meant to understand your choices and meant to be rooting for you and your family. But then there were also moments in the book where I was like, are you the villain?
Right. You are, like, the patriarchy, are you the
villain in all of this? Right. And you can't use your daughter as a pawn, but still have it be a matriarchy.
Yep.
If you're just using her as a pawn.
Correct.
So, and I think as a reader, you're supposed to have all of these feelings. I will say one thing about this book is in the series, in the span of 41 chapters.
Yeah.
You feel so many different ways about so many different characters.
Yes.
Like, every character you go on a roller coaster with. Every character you in one moment are rooting for them, and the next you're like, oh wait, you're the biggest villain. So I am interested to see how that plays out as we go into book two.
I agree. But as the book went on, I was like, you're saying crush the patriarchy, but you're literally being the patriarchy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you are queen, but you should just sit down and I'll make all the decisions.
Right.
Like, oh, yes, my queen, you're going to be in charge. But, like, I'm also going to do these things over here that you told me not to do. And she does try to call him out during it, but it doesn't do anything. Right. So I would like, and I think it will happen, I would like to see Amira really be able to, like, come out of her shell in book two and step into that power. Because she was never prepped for this stuff. Right. Like, she was, like, in the forge doing her thing, being a blacksmith. And then all of a sudden, they were like, hey, you're going to be queen. Here you go. Good luck. But she never really had any, like, political training, like, that kind of stuff that I think would have helped her. And also, like, her dad's been gone for a long time and now is coming in. So she's trying to get that balance, right, between being a queen and being a daughter. And I think that's probably really hard for her.
Yeah, it was interesting to me that he didn't, like, stop by in her childhood more to be like, okay, now let's talk about what a queen's going to do and these decisions that you're going to make and all of these things. And I know, like, as a queen in this kind of world, you are going to have the people, like, your advisors, right? You're going to have somebody that's advising you on how to move your troops in war and how to do different political things. But she had all this training in how to wield a sword and how to be powerful in so many ways. But like you said, it is easy to feel like it is off that he wasn't like, hey, let me teach you all of this while you're growing up, instead of, hey, now you're going to be queen and I'm going to tell you what to do.
Or was that his plan all along, right? Was, you know, in my mind, if he is more obsessed with power than than helping his daughter take her true rightful place on the throne and actually lead her people, right? He's like, okay, well, it doesn't matter. She's just going to be queen. And then, we're just going to go from there, right? And then I'll make the decisions and I'll figure it out for her. Like, she just needs to sit on the throne so that way I can have what I need to have. So it's, like, a very selfish approach. But that would be, if I had to look at it from just reading this book alone, that would be my thought process for him.
Yeah.
Right. Where he's like, there's no point in putting effort into doing any of that for her because she won't be making any of those decisions. She's just going to be queen.
Right. Right.
I do wish, if I could change one thing about Adarion, is that he would stand up to his father. Not that he did anything wrong, but he also doesn't have a relationship with him. Right. And he's also trying to figure out that, like, father. I'm sure he's trying to figure out that father son relationship. And he stayed back with him while Amira left. So, like, I would like that.
It is interesting. You don't really see them interact that much now that I'm thinking back through the story. Gosh, what a moment that would be if he was like, wait a second, you're not the king.
Yeah.
this isn't your, you know, your decision to make.
Right. Exactly. And I hope that happens in book two. I would like to see that in book two. Not that Amira can't hold her own, but at the same time, again, she doesn't have this training. She is struggling a little bit to really stand her ground and take control. So it would be nice, I think, if someone like Adarion, or maybe someone, I don't know how to word this in the right way. And I hate that I have to say it. If a guy would step in and be like, hey, we're all listening to her now, right? Because she's saying it. She's like, you're listening to me. Like, I'm the queen. This is my choice. And they're like, yeah. But I think, unfortunately, I think that, like, if a man stepped in, they would be like, oh, I'm listening a little bit more now. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm wording that the right way.
Oh, it does make sense. There's, of course, the part of me that's like, I don't want, like, no.
I know.
It shouldn't take a man to make you understand. Mm-hmm. Like, just listen to her.
Right.
But I do understand what you're saying. I would hope that wouldn't be the case. Because then I would hate for it to be like, no, a man has to step in and say to this other man, hey, this is a matriarchy. Listen to the woman. And then him be like, oh, well, if a guy told me to do it, I'll do it.
Right. But for their dad, like, she's tried multiple times.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, he'll learn from his mistakes and she won't need to keep begging anymore for him to listen. It's possible. Right. Maybe he'll be like, yeah, I fucked up. And then Adarion won't even have to say anything. But yeah, it is interesting that they really don't have a lot of conversations, even when they're all in the same room. Like, Amira is talking to him. He's talking to Amira. Like, Amira's talking to her dad. Her dad's talking to Amira. But, like, it's never, like, the two guys talking together.
And poor Adarion, like, that's his dad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just because he's not heir to a throne, it's still his dad.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're – and, again, he stayed back with his dad. Too, like, when Amira bailed. So I don't know if they had conversations that we just weren't privy to.
Right.
So maybe. Interesting. I mean, he was put in charge of, like, a cavalry, essentially. So I don't know. I don't know what his thoughts are on that. I would be interested to know, though, for sure.
It is very interesting.
They do attempt to claim the throne on the day of the funeral for the king, right? It totally goes south. The royals make a temporary truce to try and figure out what the next steps are. Obviously, they want to keep her from becoming queen, right? So they're like, let's make a truce, a little, like, mini peace thing. We'll figure this out. Obviously, you're not going to be queen, but let's take a pause, right? They go back on their word and they wreak havoc on the priestesses. So, like, everything is chaos. Everything's in flames. This is a losing battle, so they need to flee. Like, the Darkathians family needs to flee. We got to get the family out. Amira's got to go. Everybody's got to go, right? And they're trying to flee via ship. As people are fleeing, Amira attempts one last Hail Mary and attempts to bond to the dead king's dragon, because he was bonded to a dragon, and now that dragon is free to be bonded to once more. And she wants to do this so they have a fighting chance in regrouping and claiming the territory, so that way she could take the throne, right? She's running. She's trying to get to this dragon. She's running through the woods. She's running up the mountain. And she runs into Fiorian, who, on the way to the dragon, he distracts her for just a smidge too long, and she misses her opportunity to claim the beast. The dragon bonded to the newest king, Evander, who is the older brother. So what we know in this point about Evander is that dude's a mess already, right? Uh-huh. Drinks too much. He's mean. He's rude. And I thought it was interesting in this moment. And this is before I had understood like that dragon alone and like what was wrong with it. I was like, we know that the dragons choose who they bond to. Like they can choose whether or not, right? And right. they usually choose like good people or strong people, right? And I was like, why would this dragon accept the bond from a drunk? And then I was like, did it agree? Like, did the king make the dragon agree that it would bond to his son and only his son? Like, would it have bonded to Amiri if she would have had the chance?
I don't feel like you can make a dragon do anything. I mean, we learn that this dragon, whoever it is bonded to, goes mad, like, later in the mm-hmm. book.
Yes. Which,
this was a twist I did not see coming Agreed. As a reader at all. So, is it a motive of the dragon to make people go mad?
No, I think the dragon was, like, sick. It doesn't really give us too much detail, but if I was thinking about it, like, there's something, like, mentally and physically wrong with the dragon to its soul. And so when it bonds to another soul, they feel the same.
Is it, like, a sickness, like, I mean, just going back to Quicksilver, is it a sickness like the Quicksilver is to Kingfisher, where Evander would be an easy host because he's a drunk?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or is it, did he bond to Evander because his blood would have been very similar to who he was bonded to before?
Right.
Like, is that something he can sense or smell or whatever it is? Because, I mean, he's 50% of his dad.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas Amira, you know, is able to bond to a dragon, but she's not that closely tied to the That's previous true. King.
Not that I wish she would have had a chance, but I kind of wish she would have had a chance, right, to see if the dragon, like, rejected her. Mm-hmm. But then also, like, if it would have bonded to her, if she would have done felt like be dealt the same fate, that would have sucked. And it made me really angry, too, because later on in the book, the dad's like, I had a feeling that was what happened. Looks like what was happening. Mm-hmm. He like encouraged her to bond to this dragon. He wasn't like, just so you know, like people who are bonded to this dragon tend to go psycho.
Right. Yeah.
Bro, what? What do you mean?
Right.
And he's like, bummer.
That's that like power hungriness. Like these decisions are not all in the best interest of your daughter.
No.
They're in the best interest of you and your family getting more power.
Yes. I was really difficult to read. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, are you serious? So, and it's interesting with like the dragon bonds alone, like when they get to bond to a dragon, it's not like what we're like used to, right? Where they get to talk to the dragon and the dragon talks to them and there's actual words and conversation. It's more feelings and like emotions and like soul pulling in different directions of where they need to go to be able to communicate on the same level, which I thought was really cool that she wrote it in a way that it didn't have to be so like over, not that other books are overcomplicated, like I love those books, but like I'm glad it could be a little bit more simplified so that way we could focus more on the world building and the people and those characters, things like that.
Yeah, so I agree.
We have a first glimpse at Fjorian, right? And at first he's like a pretty good MMC. Like I liked how Hazel made it real true enemies to lovers because they were like legit hate each other.
Yeah. It wasn't like enemies to lovers like, ooh, I don't like you, but I'm still flirting with you. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, I effing hate you. Like, get away from me.
Mm-hmm. And they get into a number of altercations.
Yes. Yeah.
He does win them all, which made me kind of angry.
Yeah. I was like, she has her time, though. She has her moments. Does.
She hasn't had to do any of this stuff. And he's been training like that for years. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, they have a lot of altercations. Like, they physically fight more than once. One flaw that I didn't like that I think Hazel obviously meant to put in there was the fact that the entire book, he was so loyal to his family to a fault. that he was abused for a long time, even like especially by his father, and he stayed, right? And then he's treated by like trash by his brother, and he still stayed. So mm-hmm. like I thought that was really interesting. Like I get loyalty, but at the same time, you have to be like, you got to give a little bit, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I mean, just hearing you say it, what a mirror to, and interestingly enough, as a male in this book, what a mirror to like all the domestic things that typically saturate media of women being stuck in these relationships or families or whatever and not wanting to leave because they're so dedicated to their family. Because it's usually in media, it's usually the woman that's like, I'm being abused, or I'm, you know, dealing whatever kind of abuse it is, verbal, physical, whatever, mm-hmm. but I'm so loyal to either my children or my family or my whatever that I'm not going to leave.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interested seeing it from a man's perspective or a man's situation. And I think that is just his flaw as a character. Like he is falling in love with Amira and he's still mm-hmm. like, but my family.
Right. I did not think of it that way. That is a very interesting perspective. And I like how it makes sense.
I truly didn't until you just said that. And then I was like, oof, that's the way you phrased it. I was like, that's very interesting because, I mean, all media, like,
mm-hmm. or like Anatomy, just leave,
right?
Just go.
Right.
Who's but it's coming not that simple.
Hospital? It's always the woman. And they're like, just mm-hmm. leave, like, leave him. And I feel like there are parts in this book where you're like, just leave your family, bro. Like, yeah.
And he's like, I can't.
You have her. And she has you, like, just mm-hmm. leave.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, I can't. I would rather sacrifice mm-hmm. everything that matters to me for these people that don't treat me like I should be treated.
Yeah, it's wild. That's right. I bet you that's how like Hazel wrote it. Like it was written yeah. in there underneath.
Perhaps.
Yeah,
very that'd be my guess.
So she doesn't get the dragon. She gets on the boat. They bail, right? Once they're safe in another territory, she goes out onto a mountainside and finds not only the largest dragon, but also a female dragon, which has not been seen in a long time. She fights the dragon. She like is wrestling with this huge freaking beast and ends up bonding to her. So that's a win, right? Just as there have been no female heirs, there have also been no female dragons. So no dragon eggs have been seen in a long time. And this was super interesting to me because the goddesses decide these fates as far as the book tells us, right? So I would be interested to see in the next book if we get further details as to why females are not being born suddenly, why female dragons are not coming back suddenly. Like, what happened? What catalyst did I miss? Or maybe I missed it in the first book, but I didn't catch it. Of like, all of a sudden, there's no female. What changed?
Maybe it has to do with the dragon that is sick / gone mad / makes everybody it bonds too mad.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think and here's a theory that I have, not for the dragons, but for the like the women. And this is just a theory. I have no like basis on this. We know that the One True Religion makes different things and weapons to block magic. I wonder if they have some sort of chemical or magic or powder or something to alter the females having other females.
Or did they get this dragon sick to begin with?
Maybe. It's possible. Because they were like, no more female dragons, no more female heirs. Like, it was like the underground plan of the One True Religion in the first place to be like, well, if there's no female heirs, then obviously the men mm-hmm. will then rule. So maybe they made a plan or did something. And so, like, when one was born, like, Draven Darkathian had to hide her because yeah. he knew what they would do to her.
Right.
So I just wonder that. Again, just a theory, but maybe something we can circle back on in book two.
Yeah, very interesting.
She bonded to a dragon formerly known as the Terror. She gives her a new name, though, because she's like, "That's we don't need that name. That's ridiculous." So she names her Terea. We learn that, again, when they bond, they can feel each other's emotions and communicate, but not in a way that we would expect. They don't talk to each other with words. It's almost like a mutual understanding of feelings and expression, which is kind of cool.
I love. Yeah, I love this.
Now, that was really an interesting concept. So, yeah. Back to when Amira was first boarding the ship when they were fleeing sail to a safer territory, she realizes that her adopted family did not board. So, like, none of the three are on there, right? Orla, Lachlan, and Podrick are not there. Later on, her father informs her that Fiorian killed them all as traitors. She freaks out. She loses it, right? She gets on Dragonback and flies all the way back to the castle, back to the original territory that she were in, and attempts to sneak up on Fiorian, and it goes terribly wrong. She is then captured and taken to the castle, and she wakes up with no magic in her veins, and her bond has been cut off, so she can't feel her dragon now. This is the first moment that we learn about the powder that the members of the true religion have created in order to block the magic, right? And it can be ingested, and it can be in the air that she breathes. We learn there's a couple different things that they can do, right? The true religion wears, like, the priests wear pendants, which basically block fire and magic from harming them. We know that they have a powder that they can use to block the Duelic power and a connection to the bonded dragon. And then we eventually learn that they created a liquid version that doesn't block the magic. However, if it gets onto your skin or into your system, if you attempt to use your magic, you are in a tremendous amount of pain. So you physically are unable to use your magic because it hurts so much. So, like, they have, and which is why, again, I think that they could easily make some sort of substance or some sort of magic something to choose which type of air is born.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that far-fetched.
I mean, no, I don't think it's that far-fetched at all. Like, they definitely have a control on a lot of these things that are magic-based, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they figured out ways around it, so I don't think it's that far-fetched. And it's like at this point in the book, you start to really see Amira just lose everything.
Oh, for sure.
And you're like, oh my gosh, how much worse can it get? And damn, it gets way worse.
Yes, agreed. 100%. It is every turn we take, I'm like, oh my god, oh yeah. No. So yeah, that kind of wraps up like the first half of it, right? So she bailed, she left, she left everyone behind. Her brother's back there, her dad's back there. She tried to get Fiorian and a little sneak attack. It didn't work. She is now held captive. She is now hostage. And she knows that we know that now that her stuff's being poisoned, essentially. So her magic is blocked. She has no connection to the dragon. She can't use her firepower. So she feels empty. And honestly, for the first time in her life, she's never not had her magic. Right.
So I feel brother.
Like, yeah, or her brother, and her newly dragon is now gone. So, like, I feel like a whole chunk of her soul is missing. Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine what that would feel like.
Like I said, I feel like you get to this point and you're like, what else could this girl lose?
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot.
There's so much book left. Yeah, there's so much book left.
Yes.
So
it's awful. Yeah. It's awful. But we will pick it up again next week. Again, if you would like to grab this book, it is in our Amazon storefront. So check that out there. Lots of stuff for you guys in the show notes to check out. The Gaelic website to make sure that you're pronouncing it correctly. Some audiobook links, things like that. And we will see you guys next week. Again, I'm Dallas.
I'm Melissa.
Thanks for joining the Goodest Girls.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's your host Alice from the Goodish Girls podcast. We know you love your books, but we want to introduce you to the audiobook world. In honor of International Book Lovers Day, we want to gift you 1 month of Audible for free when you sign up for an Audible membership. To make it easy for you, we put a link right here in our show notes below. Happy listening!
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.